How do you rev up ratings and turbocharge weekend revenue? First, you bring in some expert mechanics from the CNC Auto Show, America's go-to automotive talk show. Just Ask Harley Drew from WGAC Augusta.
It's become phenomenally popular. As a matter of fact, it's been the number one Saturday morning show by a substantial margin.
Here's Anthony Misano, General Sales Manager, Beasley Media Group.
It's a quality show with two guys talking about vehicles and really trying to help consumers. And it's a sellable product.
When it comes to car service, auto repair experts Aaron Clements and J.R. Mooney have all the answers.
Well, his passion is automobiles. He has a real innate ability to analyze a problem and give you some kind of answer for it.
And these guys, more knowledgeable than pretty much anybody that I've heard on the radio.
It's because of that warm, folksy sound that he has, where he sounds like he knows what he's talking about, but he doesn't treat you like you're an idiot and he's an expert.
With two entertaining and informative hours every week, the CNC Auto Show is advertiser-friendly.
Yes, we have a good track record of selling it.
We've had no problem selling it out.
It's the perfect weekend moneymaker for your station from one of the radio industry's most trusted content providers, syndication networks.
It's real easy to sell when people have listened to the show and actually become addicted to it, too. We've got advertisers on that show that have been on it for years, years.
And it's available via XDS or FTP for your station.
We carry it. We're one of the top news talks in the country.
It's a great show to listen to. The ratings back that up. The advertisers get good results.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
Now, take the CNC Auto Show for a test drive. Then, send back the agreement to lock in your market.
Every week, the CNC Auto Show brings listeners helpful, friendly advice from experts on keeping their vehicles running right, even fixing those hard-to-diagnose noises that cars sometimes make.
Say that the wife normally drives the vehicle, but the husband brings it in. He says, she says it's doing this, doing that. They bring it in. The husband says, I didn't feel anything, but that's what she says it's doing.
Yeah.
So what we like to do is, if that was the description under these conditions, we like to actually duplicate that issue. So we'll take the vehicle out. We want to feel exactly what they're talking about. And I'm going to use this as an example, and it may not be drivability or diagnostics, but a customer complains of a noise in the vehicle. I go and drive the vehicle, and I hear this particular noise, and I hear something different than what they described, but I want to be sure that we're going to fix the same noise that they're complaining about. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I'll either call the customer and say, hey, so I heard this going over bumps. Is that what you're talking about? Or I'll go drive with them or ride with them, and let's make sure that we're attacking exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Same with the running issue. It skips going uphill, or the check engine light flashes when I'm driving the vehicle. Things like that, if we can duplicate, it does give us a good starting place of where to go on the diagnostic process.
It sounds like you've been there before, Jim. A vehicle comes in and you drive it around the block. You hear a noise, a pretty loud noise. You say, whoa, I hear that. And you jump under there. You spend some time. You find out what it is. You call the person and say, yeah, I heard the noise and we're going to get this out. And it's going to cost X amount of dollars. They say, yeah, let's do it. You fix it. And then they come pick it up. And the next day, hey, my car's still making the same noise.
That's right.
You say, I heard this other. No, that wasn't the noise. I wasn't worried about that noise. Yeah. I want this noise.
Or you hear it, and the customer's still waiting. So you take them on a ride with you and say, is this the noise you're talking about? No, I'm not talking about that noise. It's this other noise.
Yeah. So you want to be real careful to describe the noises correctly. And if there is any doubt on the noise, ride with the person. If your car, like if it's a loud jingle when you hit a bump and the technician drives it and it's a loud jingle when he or she hits a bump, then yeah, I mean, that kind of ties it in. But there's any doubt, kind of be open for asking any questions, and make sure when you bring a car in for diagnostics, be sure to leave all your contact information that you can.
The topics on the CNC Auto Show are driver friendly, with specific suggestions from knowledgeable vehicle technicians.
I have a Kia Sorento and it's using 2 quarts of oil per 1,000 miles, and I wonder, what do I need to do, or is that normal?
No, definitely not completely normal, but it could fall under the guidelines of passing, but it is a sign you need to do some things to find out if you can reduce that amount. You say the car has about, 78,000 miles?
Yes.
And what year model is this vehicle?
It's a 2017.
2017. Okay, once you've done the things I'm talking about, I don't want to forget to mention this part. They did have some recalls on those vehicles for some oil usage issues. So once these items I'm going to mention to you to check have been checked, you might even ask, has there been any recalls on this vehicle? Either an independent shop, if you have a shop that you go to on a regular basis and trust and feel good about, you can ask them to check for any recalls or bulletins on the car. And if not, you can go to the dealership and they can scan your VIN code and say, yes, this car is covered under a recall or a bulletin type deal, or it's not. How long have you had the vehicle?
About a year.
Okay, so you don't know past history on oil changes. Oil usage can be one of the many things that can cause it. I'll go as far as say it, that one of the more common things that causes it is someone not changing their oil on a regular basis. Now, this would have been before you owned the vehicle if somebody extended their oil change intervals when they should be doing it at 5,000 and instead were changing it at 8,000, 9,000, 10,000, would have caused extra wear on the engine and caused it to burn oil. So what you want to do, though, is try to get a baseline point. Now, is your oil due to be changed now, or have you had it changed recently?
I've had it changed recently.
Okay. I would recommend an oil consumption test, and that's basically having the oil changed and someone either, I'd normally like to take a picture of it, but knowing exactly where that oil is and then checking it about every 500 miles and see if it's going down. Now, if it is, then you want to start doing some things to try to find out. One, check the PCV system. The engine has to breathe. Tell them to make sure that the PCV system is working properly. Then after that, make sure the car is not due for any kind of maintenance, tune-up, anything like that. Make sure that a good brand of oil is being used.
I have a family member that had a similar condition. I think they had some crankcase ventilation, PCV issues, but there was also a top engine cleaning that was done due to some of the things Aaron was mentioning before, I think tied to improper oil changes before they
good
had
point.
The car. And that was no engine disassembly, as I recall. This is a few years ago. But that solved the oil consumption problem, which is good news. We didn't have a mechanical failure that required the engine to come apart.
It's not just advice on car repair. Classic cars are fun and more popular than ever, so they're often showcased on the CNC Auto Show, too.
A beautiful Corvair convertible, which you don't see these in a convertible very often, and I definitely don't see this color very often. It is beautiful. Tell us a little history behind the vehicle.
Okay, so this car was purchased in December of 1964 by my grandfather as a birthday present for my father.
Uh-huh.
And so my dad and mom drove it for 10 years. They moved up to Ohio. And two kids and a convertible in Ohio didn't work out too well. So they gave the car back to my grandfather, and he kept it for years. And in 1986, he kind of parked it in his garage, and that's where it sat until about 2 years ago, where my grandfather passed away, and I got the car.
I love that. And great story with that car.
Yeah.
Did you have a good time here today?
Oh, absolutely. We always enjoy coffee and cars.
So you've had this restored a year and a half.
Yeah, about a year and a half.
Well, you contribute to the Coffee and Cars event very, very nicely.
Thank you, sir.
Things like this just bring back so many memories.
Listener questions are always welcome, and the experts have all the answers.
Welcome to the CNC Auto Show, and what can we help you with?
What if a stranded motorist in need of towing doesn't know where they are? Can GPS coordinates be used by the towing company to find them? And if so, how would a stranded motorist who doesn't know where they are do that?
A lot of the software that's out now, we use something called Towbook. It actually allows us to send a message to your phone or a text. We'll send a message to your phone, and it will allow us to basically GPS coordinate where you are. A lot of the motor clubs that do towing, like Geico, USAA, AAA, stuff like that, they also have those means where you'll be on the phone with a customer service representative, and they'll ask you to allow notifications or allow access to your location at that time. That way they can kind of find you before we talk to you. But we also have those means as well.
Okay, well, good. That's good to know. But
yes, sir.
If you're in that situation, the party you're talking to will tell you what to do and how to get that done.
Yes, sir. Most of the times through your insurance companies. Not all insurance companies offer that, and maybe not all towing companies do, but we do in our area. A lot of the technology that's coming out in the towing industry is kind of getting more towards helping people that don't know where they are. On top of that, the drivers that run up and down the road on a daily basis, they're so familiar with the area that if sometimes if you can describe what you went past or kind of even where you are as the driver calls you as he's en route to come and pick up your vehicle, since he is the one out there on the road, he can get a little bit better understanding it at where you are and help find you.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
That was a great question. We appreciate that very much. Now, that leads to another question. Roughly, how many cars would you say on an average day are pulled?
Monday through Friday are always busier than, you know, the weekends. We run between 150 and 200 tows a day.
Wow. That's a lot of cars being towed in. And the reason I wanted to mention that is to give the listeners a little bit of a context of the size operation this is.
Don't wait. Call Syndication Networks toll-free or send back the agreement now to lock in your market. Ratchet up great ratings and revenue for your station with the CNC Auto Show. Syndication Networks.